This is the G.I. Jive, man alive. It starts with the bugler blowing reveille over.
My name is Donald Roy Waffle. Well, I was born in Newark, New York, which is about 60 miles west of here, near Rochester. Family moved here when I was about a year old, and I've been in Syracuse ever since. So in November of 1941, I started OCS at class number 3 with 60 other guys. Third week, Pearl Harbor. Everything changed. And they put us on the Queen Mary and sent us to Harland. In the Armored Regiment, they have a band that's part of the structure. This was a dance that was going to be the doctors and nurses of a base hospital in Belfast. And our regimental band was going to go play the music and the dances. The girls looked like they were at this senior ball at Syracuse University. They were dressed in party dresses. They're all in their 20s. Some of them are pretty, some of them aren't. And they're dancing. I went to that nurse that I didn't know. And I said, pointed across the room to this girl that was so pretty, "Who is that?" And she said, "Her name is Olga Cassiolini. Do you want to meet her?" I said, "Yes, sir, sure do. I want to meet her." So she took me across the hall and introduced me to her. And about that time, the band got ready, and I never went back to the band. Yeah, not that night. I asked her to dance, and she said yes. I put my arm around her waist, and I put this cheek against her cheek and smelled her perfume and her rouge. And we moved out on the floor with my arm around her waist, my cheek against hers, and danced with her. It was a July, beautiful night. And we got outside, and there was nobody quickly around. She said something, or I said something, about the moon, and she kind of leaned back a little bit, and I kissed her. And she didn't object to that. So I kissed her again. And then she leaned back and she said, "I don't even know your name." That's what she said to me. "I don't even know your name." I called her the next day and introduced myself. I said, "I'm the guy from last night." So I made a date with her. Well, we had a nice date. And then the next week, the third week, we had another one. And they kept, in the meantime, I would call her frequently on the phone. And I started writing her notes. And on our third date, it was in an old beat-up building in downtown Belfast that had been damaged in bombing and shelling. And I said to her, I said, "Do you suppose we can make this forever?" She said, "Yes." That's how I proposed to her.
This love of mine goes on and on.
That started a 60-day romance. I did call her every day, and I wrote her letters every night.
You're always on my mind.
There came a time when the last night the girls, the nurses were out at Ballykiller. We were having a party. And she, Cassie was there. They had to, a certain length of time they could have there, and they were going to have to go back. We had 1 hour by ourselves. And we just stood in a room for the whole hour. We didn't sit down, we didn't lay down. We just stood together and kind of hugged each other for an hour. I said to her, "I know we're leaving tomorrow. I may never see you again, Cassie. I love you. This is just great." I said, I just don't know. I don't know where we're going. I just have to say goodbye."
"We'll meet again. Don't know where. Don't know when. But I know we'll meet again. Some sunny day."
So we didn't know that we got out of South to sea, that we were going to North Africa. Well, there was one network of communications from a place near Tunis, out in the country. So they had this, the infantry guys had a roadblock set up to protect the bridge. So this David Tyler Long got that call, and he said, the guy's down at this place. He says, you remember where you were last night? And I said, yeah. And he said, well, there's a guy down there in the roadblock, and they're all upset. He said, take your vehicles down there and just comfort them a little bit. Well, there was a lot going on down there. And I pulled off the road, and down the road was a column of German tanks going slowly because they had skirmish lines of German infantry out in the field, and they were walking. And now, wouldn't you know that was the time the radios didn't work? The radios never worked in tanks. I saw the enemy maybe 500 or 600 yards away through those trees. One of my sergeants and his two-man crew just took off. I didn't realize it at the time, so there was just eight of us. No, one guy had a Tommy gun. I had a pistol, the other guys, I think, had pistols, and that's the only arms we had. We were 12 miles from headquarters, right in the middle of a German attack. So I said to myself, wait, I can't run away. So we dove into foxholes. Of course, when you get into a deep, muddy foxhole, you can't even stand up and see out of it. And the chances of getting out of it to do something on foot is impossible. So I had my pistol, I got it out, and I said, I can't get out of here. Now, none of the other guys could either. So I put my pistol back in the holster. That saved my life. This German soldier, he saw that I was not armed. Now, if I'd had a pistol in my hand, he'd have shot me. He just said, get up. That saved my life. I can remember that the outlook for a soldier in a combat area was to get killed, get wounded, or get home safely. Nobody contemplated getting captured. Then all of a sudden, you're captured. You know, if you start thinking about it, and you start cussing yourself out a little bit, you don't let it panic you. You just, you worry about it, and you say, geez, I thought I fucked that up, you know. But that thought crosses your mind, you say, no, I'm not a coward. I didn't do that. I didn't run away. I wrote to her, it was allowed a certain number of letters as a POW, and I split them up between my mother and her.
February 6, 1943. My darling, I'm not going to waste a single minute this week in telling my own sweetheart that I love her more and more every minute of every day. It's such a perfect feeling, Cassie, my sweetheart, and means more than anything else in keeping my spirits up. God bless you, my darling girl. In case all my letters don't get there, I must include that I'm well and happy. Need socks, underclothes, chocolate, and cigarettes, which I can swap for more food. When you write, send me lots of pictures as usual. Keep that lovely smile on your precious face and love me more every day as I love you. Sweet dreams and memories, Don.
A guy named Bob Savage. I got to know him on the boxcar and we became good friends. He and I were wandering around the edge of the camp. There was some American young lieutenant and he stopped and talked to Bob Savage and me. Yeah, we don't know what's ever going to happen, but he says, I can tell you guys that we're 6 miles away from a little town, and go down into that town, and you can find some American vehicles and get the hell out of here. So Bob and I talked about it. We just discussed maybe we ought to do this. So we crawled under the barbed wire in broad daylight, and there were Russian soldiers patrolling on the outside, and they shot their rifles over our heads. They weren't trying to hit us. They were trying to bluff us back in. When we got down to the edge of this town, we began to see German, little German village. We heard obviously an American voice, and he said, you guys looking for those vehicles? And he said, oh, I know where they are. And he said, I'm ready to go. He said, come with me. So he took us down into that little village. First of all, we had to prove that we were Americans, because this sergeant says, this is gospel. He said in his gruff voice, he said, I have orders. I can take British, Americans, Canadians, no fucking French. And then we got to the Elbe River, and we could see the Americans across the river. It was the 30th Infantry Division. They'd been to Normandy, come fought their way all across. They were all excited over there. And there was a few minutes negotiation, and those Russians let us go across their bridge to the American side. And you know what they were so happy about? That was VE Day. Waffle was freed on VE Day.
There'll be love and laughter and peace ever after tomorrow when the world is free.
My darling, free at long last, honey, and I'm on my way to make all our dreams and plans come true. It's wonderful to be back with U.S. troops again and eating GI rations again. We were liberated on April 22nd by the Russians and reached the American lines by truck on May 7th. Now we're anxiously waiting to go home. I need you so very much. I often wonder exactly where you are right now. I have a feeling we're really close. All I can think of is you and home. You and home. It's such a glorious feeling, and I'm deeply thankful and happy. I love you, Cassie. Dawn.
So I went up to the Red Cross tent to see if the Red Cross could help me find out where the 5th General Hospital was. Nobody knew anything about where they were. They got on the phone, the Red Cross people, and they found them way down in Alsace-Lorraine. They'd been in the Battle of the Bulge down in southeastern France, almost to Germany. They got that hospital on the phone, and I had it on the line. I could hear her voice, and she could hear mine. We couldn't communicate because the connection was not good, but I knew that she was alive and she knew that I was alive. Nice. I was in the 7th Heaven. Just, oh my God, geez, you're all right. I said, I'm going to go back after maybe a week or 10 days. I'm going back to the Red Cross tent and see if we can't get her to get on the phone again with her. Well, when I went in that tent, and there was a piece of paper sitting on the table, and somebody had taken a message and written down on the piece of paper, Cassie's name and my name. Your girlfriend there is due in this camp today. And they couldn't find me. But I went there that day. God sent me over there that day. So I trekked a long way over to that hospital, and I waited all day long, just hung around. And pretty soon, late in the afternoon, a GI ambulance drove up, opened the door, and out she stepped. Cassie. I rushed over to her, and she saw me, and she rushed over, and we hugged each other. She said, are you still wanting to get married? And I said, yep.
This love of mine.